Well, it's finally over. Or at least we think it's finally over. 2020, I mean.
I was going to say, you've got like a laundry list of things that we're all ready to be done with by now, so.
Absolutely. And the trial subscription to 2021 is not looking much better. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, there's that meme that's been going around. Like, yeah, I've tried the 7-day trial. Not interested. All that stuff. That first weekend. Woo.
Not ready to see what's in store.
Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, 2020 was a bit of a dick about it, because, you know, we got through that first month and it was a decent month. It was all right. Everybody was feeling good moving forward. February, a little teeter-tottery, and then everything just took a nosedive in March. At least this one's just like right out the gate. Here's what you're looking at.
Yeah, and it's not even really that much different.
No. And it, I mean, nothing about December 31st actually signifies that anything's ever going to change. I think it's just hopeful for the beginning of a new year for us that we're on an upward trend, but I don't know.
Which is probably why no one really sticks to their New Year's resolution, because there's nothing that really truly changes. It's nice to have that hope, but those of us that have been around for a while know that there's no reason. And it's been a while since we've talked, between COVID and everything else, mm-hmm. and honestly, just being sick of it.
Yeah.
We haven't recorded. We wanted to wait till at least in January, the first week or two, see how things were going. Hopefully get things at least better ironed out before we started recording again. A few things have changed. Left Facebook.
Heard about that.
Big purge that was going on. We were not victims of the purge for whatever reason. Apparently I'm not anarchist enough, which is fine. That's absolutely
your anarchist
fine.
Diet.
Yeah, anarchist light, thank you.
Anarchist light. Oh, well, sorry.
Zero calories, all the sass.
Oh, that's gross.
Yes, absolutely. And I did say sass. I did not
say. I know. But I wasn't going to go there, but you did, so there
just,
you
go. There was no reason to stay. They were hitting a lot of my friends, a lot of pages that I follow, a lot of respectable figures, really hard, even making it so they were unable to comment in groups for a month, let alone post stuff.
Hmm.
So we left, of course, like we said. What's been nice is without the daily vitriol that comes from Facebook, life's been a little bit better. Or at least it seems a little bit better.
No, it probably is. Just, I mean, here's the thing. When you're getting bombarded with information, good, bad, whatever, it's going to have an effect.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you may not be cognizant of it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it has an effect. It brings you down. And there's been a lot of negativity, not just with the purge and everything going on, but just with stuff in the world in general. It's very hard to log into anything anywhere and not have this, you know, horde of negativity hurtling at you. This is a conversation. I mean, you said I never really do Facebook, so, but it's for that reason. I tried it a long time ago, and it's not an area I need my brain to be.
Right.
I owe it to my family to not be in that headspace, and that's what it seems to perpetuate.
Now, one of the negatives of leaving, like, I hate to even say there was a negative.
Well, no, there are things, everything has two sides, you know.
Beyond losing the connections, there's a lot of things that are going on that I just truly do not know about, which is nice because you're not getting that additional pressure, continual mm-hmm. pressure. And like we stated when we were kind of working on changing the direction the podcast was going. We were talking a couple episodes ago. Everything falls into one of five or six different categories. Government sucks. Cops suck. Laws suck. Taxes, whatever. And it's just, you're changing the skin on it. But at its heart, it's the same thing, and it's the same conversation again and again. So with that, some of the interesting things, and I know you hate that word, but truly interesting was watching how this election went the way it did. especially for the right. I showed you some of the videos of the evangelicals losing their absolute mind. And I'm not here to make fun of them. And that's not what this is about.
No, but I mean, nothing about that was subtle or there's no misconstruing that. It was going nuts. And it's not something, like we've discussed a million times, what we discuss on here isn't something that only happens with the right or only happens with the left. It shows and manifests itself on both sides in their own ways. But I mean, that one was almost comical. It was so exaggerated. I will say that.
Well, I think the left did the same when Hillary lost.
I was thinking that where you have the people sobbing in the streets mm-hmm. and things like that. I mean, it was such an extreme right reaction with that one. I mean, it was more for me. You had the on the left when that happened 4 years ago, which is still blowing my mind. That was already 4 years ago. Time's kind of flown. Was just the level of I don't know if it's depression, but you know, they took it so hard in a personal and it brought them down kind of way, whereas this one seemed to ignite a lot of rage and indignation.
What, at least to me, what's unique about this is the position of the right, in that Donald Trump is their savior. Many of them, and I was very specific, the evangelical right especially, mm-hmm. see him as God's chosen man. So at the end of this...
This has nothing to do with let the right. That just the fact it's Trump is terrifying.
It is, but shelve that for a moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
These are people that believe strongly in God. They believe that God has a plan, all the stuff that we already know. But at this point, is it that Donald Trump actually isn't God's man and that's why he lost? Is it that God's not powerful enough to defeat the great Satan, which is Joe Biden?
Oh,
or is
boy.
Joe Biden actually God's man?
Yeah.
So there's this really core, down to an identity level fracturing that's going on mm-hmm. for these people. It's not just that their guy didn't lose. Is the God that I believe in powerful enough or even care enough to be involved?
Or is it, we had such a strong belief in this, how could he lose? And what does that mean for us that he did?
And was my our belief misplaced?
Mm-hmm.
Were we misled? So
you know, I don't even think it necessarily. I've not seen it, at least personally, going into that direction of what were we misled so much as it being turned around into a reflection of the level of sin in the world around us, and you know, almost like an end of days kind of thing, where you know we have turned the people in this country have turned their backs on God. And yada, yada, from there. Does that make sense?
No, it does. And you're absolutely right. Some of them are spinning it in that direction. And that's, at least for them, the great thing about these types of beliefs is that you can morph it to mean whatever it is you want as long as it doesn't challenge the core of that belief.
Mm-hmm.
And every morphing will be a reinforcement of that belief. Well, now, as of this recording, this is after the certification and after the storming of the Capitol.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they knew something was going to happen. They had already activated the National Guard ahead of time. The National Guard was supposed to run traffic. The cops were supposed to take care of, or civilian law enforcement, if you will, supposed to take care of security around the Capitol and in the Capitol. Obviously, that didn't happen. And I think you've seen the videos where they were just letting them through and taking selfies with them. Now, what's going to become of that, I don't really know.
I mean, I have not looked into it from, I mean, very beginning to very end of how everything went down on this. And I didn't know at that point where they're letting everybody in if they had already had the initial push through. And then you've just got a horde of people coming through. There's a certain point as a human being, job regardless, you're just going to sit back and be like, whatever, it's done. They're in. We'll try to manage it best we can from there. The selfies, I've seen a mix of some that were, you know, kind of almost making it kind of the party, but and others who were just literally standing on their position and people were just coming up next to them and selfieing. They weren't pushing them away or anything, but they weren't like smiling and looking into the camera. They're just staring forward. So just devil's advocate there a little bit. I don't know how everything went down necessarily from the beginning.
And neither do I. Yeah. And whatever story we're going to get is going to portray things in a light that's beneficial for those that are still in power. And even the representatives of the Capitol Police were saying that if we don't have enough manpower to man these barricades, then yeah, you might as well just let them through. We're not going to put our officers' lives in danger. The problem is they knew that these people were coming. They knew the protests were going to happen. And this is not tinfoil hat. This is looking again at the inability of our government to provide some of the basic functions that it says that it is that it's supposed to actually provide. Now, some of the questions we have to ask as we walk away from this, or at least we're moving away from this event that happened, what are going to be the inevitable consequences?
Oh, yeah.
I, for one, especially bringing in a president that is very anti-gun, I foresee this being utilized as a method to remove rights, remove guns. I mean, everything's just conjecture at this point, but it's definitely something to
itself to reason. You know, if that's already the platform, I mean, all these people who are fighting so hard for all these, all their personal rights and Second Amendment and Trump and everything it means to be a Republican just royally shot themselves and everyone else in the foot. You gave the other everything that they need being a bunch of dumbasses.
Pardon the pun, but you gave them all the ammunition they're going to need to
take away all these things you're valuing so much. And
one of the other impressive karma things that came out of this, Donald Trump had passed he wrote an executive order making the destruction of federal property a 10-year sentence. And the right cheered that because it was aimed at BLM, Antifa, all the stuff that we've been seeing all year. The people that did this are going to be charged with the exact same legislation that they cheered. It's now going to be used against them.
You know, that brings up a good point, though. And it's been a topic of conversation within my family and with some of my friends, especially as this was going down. You know, and again, devil's advocate, could we possibly have learned from the past few years? Sure, maybe. But we sure as hell hadn't learned in the decades before that. We were all really kind of struck at how differently this was handled by law enforcement and how they handled the protesters. Now, again, look at the extremity of the circumstances as well of what they were actually doing and how they were treated by law enforcement, by the National Guard. Now, there were some that got rough here and there, obviously. But look at the difference between that and the Black Lives Matter movements and protests. A lot of those that were much more peaceful and did not involve raiding federal buildings and going up in an aggressive manner towards people. Do you, in your honest opinion, do you think that all of that would have gone as smoothly? Granted, there were some deaths. I'm not taking away from the deaths and injuries that happened. But do you think it would have gone nearly that vanilla had that been a BLM storming the Capitol? Had that actually been Antifa? I know some people have been saying it's been that it was Antifa. But if that was the same circumstance with the groups that were going 6 months ago.
They're still going.
I know. I'm saying when it was on the larger scale like this, that was equal to what happened at the Capitol building with the things that were going on with Breonna Taylor, so on and so forth. Do you honestly think it would have gone as smoothly as it did, being that this was largely, if not all, white Americans storming the Capitol, being urged on by their president?
And there's the point you lose me. I agreed with you until you brought color in here. And that's what people are saying. Would it have been different in so much that you and I can predict the future and predict an outcome that is... that hasn't happened? I would say, yeah, it would be completely different. Do I think it's because it's white Americans versus not white Americans. I think it has more to do with the fact that the right support cops. Mm. And if they came down as hard as they do on the others, they would lose the only support they have in the United States right now.
I don't know. I can't. I see where you're coming from for sure. I don't know if I can 100% get behind that, because I do think that there is a disparity when it comes to how people react, law enforcement reacts in a situation where they're dealing with a largely minority crowd.
Do I think they handle minorities different? Yes. Do I think that these groups are homogenous enough for that to come into play? No, I don't think it is.
And to be fair, like I said, this was also one where who's to say that with Trump saying everything that he did and tweeting all of that out and encouraging people to come in, different circumstance, and their highest authority figure is telling these people to come forward and do all this.
And I party fouled.
That was not me this week.
No.
That was you, sir.
It absolutely was. And it better have been damn important is all I've got to say. That is some bullshit because I just got called out. And we're going to fix that so that doesn't happen.
No, it's all good.
Again. 1 second, guys. But
I mean, think about that. You've got a situation now where all of this is being pushed forward by the commander-in-chief.
Well, he didn't say go attack the building, but
he didn't. But here's the big point on here. He's saying, hey, keep it peaceful. And not once did he tell anybody to stop. Even when they were storming, when they were going, and it was like, hey, what was it? And he's like, I'm proud of you or something. Or
I don't know.
Thankful for you. If you are not flat out telling somebody to stop, and he's saying, hey, just keep it peaceful, in many people's minds, that's going to be, okay, cool. We're going to keep going. Look at, he's saying thanks. He's saying he's thankful. I wish I could look. I don't have my computer in front of me. I'd like to look up exactly what it was that he said. But it was very much an encouraging statement. Like, oh, I'm so touched that you guys would do this for me kind of thing. I mean, there's no way to misconstrue that personally. But you have somebody who's encouraging the actions without encouraging it. I don't know.
Verbally. I got you. What I hate about this, God, and it tastes so shitty, is that as much as I hate Trump, I'm finding myself defending him.
Okay.
In a lot of regards. Nothing has changed. I still despise the guy, but I think some things are being laid at his feet unfairly. Could he have said stop? Yeah. Did he say stop when BLM and Antifa were doing their shit? No, not really. While it was going down. All I'm saying is that it's very...
Right, but he also wasn't the one that was encouraging them to gather and launch a protest against the Capitol or wherever they were at to begin with. It was his words that caused people to gather in the beginning. So if you have spearheaded something that has started to get out of control, there's a certain point where, I'm sorry, you should stand up and make the proclamation going, hey, 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 this is not what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
Stand outside, be peaceful, but make a point to tell them to stop doing what they're doing, that it's going too far, not, oh gosh, look at you guys, aren't you sweet? Just be careful, okay?
I absolutely understand what you're saying, and could a better job have been done? Yeah, I agree with that, but to play devil's advocate.
Oh, please
so to
do.
Speak,
no, you're fine. That's what we do on here.
If I truly felt that I had been wronged, and there was no other recourse, i.e. I believe that the election was stolen. I believe that, if I believe that, I'm not saying that, but if I held those beliefs and I had gone through every other legal, peaceful channel to try to reconcile it, and that did not happen, I wouldn't tell the people that were upset to just go home and just take it. Right?
No, I'm not saying that. But when you, again, not saying he's like, bend over, take it, whatever, deal mm-hmm. with it. When it's going too far is what I'm saying. If you know what, keep protesting, make them hear your words. That's fine. But when you're storming in armed, a lot of them had some type of weapon. And again, shooting yourself in the foot with it here into a Capitol building where there are people who are just congregating to pass the votes through. I mean, at that point, I don't know. Like I said, there's a certain point where it's like, hey, this was not what we were here to do.
The question that I would love to hear answered is, it was this too far? And I'm going to reframe it. Let's say Biden's first day of the presidency and Congress is in session and they get together and they're going to pass some draconian laws. Anyone who is against the government is going to go to an internment camp, a re-education center. You're going to be taken away from your family. Your kids are going to be taken away. You know, just think of like the worst thing that you can possibly imagine. And we as Americans go and we try to challenge it within the courts, and the courts go, tough shit. This is the law. This is legal. They can do whatever they want to. Would at that point storming the Capitol building...
Okay. There are extreme circumstances where, yes, of course, that's going to happen. That's been prevalent throughout history of people hitting a limit. I don't want to shortchange anybody's beliefs or their feelings on a matter, but this was not Congress coming in to vote to necessarily take away people's rights. This was putting forth and validating the vote that had been placed forth by the American people. So, and if with the system as it stands, you know,
you just have to accept it.
It's not necessarily just having to accept it, but it's also looking at where we're at here. You're talking about an extreme circumstance where these votes are coming in to have people hauled off and taken away, anyone who's against the government. And yes, people can feel strongly about Biden, but there's no saying that that's what he's going to do. Does that make sense? I mean, and maybe he will. Who knows what's going to happen?
I'm not saying he's setting up internment camps.
I think that's a bit of an extreme example.
I don't think it is.
Comparatively.
If you believe that Biden is the devil, if you believe that Donald Trump is God's chosen man, and that you need to stand up for your savior, and you are fighting the good fight...
Then that's a different circumstance. But I'll cede that point to you. I will cede that point to you. This is an extreme belief situation.
Right. And yeah. I mean, any manner of stuff is going through their head. And this is what I hate. You know, a lot of people are like, okay, Trump should have said something. That's only if Trump recognized that this was too far for him. But seriously, if he has tried every legal means... In peaceful means, there is a point where you got to start loading the weapons. There is that point. You are sitting here going, hey, he should have said enough is enough. But for these people, this wasn't even nearly enough. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying that...
That's the reality of their interpretation and feelings.
That's
the
reality of the situation we're all in. Because we are captive. We're on a ship out in the middle of the ocean... And if the captain makes a bad decision and hits an iceberg, it's all of our asses going down to Davy Jones' locker. And that's why anarchists, voluntarists, supposed to be libertarians, but we know how that works, are supposed to be manning the lifeboats. If you want to stay on the ship, cool. We've got to be done with this. Now, something interesting happened. And there's that word again. An article that I read from a source that I never thought I would be quoting it as, this guy was an accidental genius. And as soon as we hear from our sponsor, we'll come back and I'll read this part of the article. It's going to surprise you.
Okay.
Our sponsor this week is Surfshark VPN. If you're looking for a way to secure your online data and browsing habits, enjoy Netflix as if you were in another country, or just simply to make sure your IP address can't be traced to your physical location, you need a VPN. Surfshark VPN fulfills every one of those needs, and because it's top rated by TechRadar, PC World, CNET, and PC Mag, you can rest assured Surfshark has you covered. If you use our link, you can start enjoying the security of a robust VPN for only $1.99 a month if you choose the 24-month option at checkout. That's over 80% off, but they're only offering it for a limited time. That link is porcupinepov.com/VPN, or I'll just go ahead and include it in the show notes for you just to make it easy. And with that, we'll head back to the show. Hey guys, welcome back. Now, there is a guy on Fox News that I absolutely cannot stand.
Tucker Carlson.
There,
that's who I thought it was.
We've talked about it.
Yeah, I know.
I hate the guy. And, I mean, he's the kind of guy that in a bar, you just want to sit down, have a drink with him so you could punch him in the face.
Okay.
Anyway.
It must be a guy thing. Go ahead.
No, it's not a guy thing. He's just... It's disturbing how much I hate him. And I don't really know why other than he's a douchebag. But he wrote an opinion piece around what happened.
Okay.
Within the Capitol. And, of course, before I say anything, as you can imagine, a far-right conservative, what their take on it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But within this article, there is a hidden gem that I think is very important to our not only our discussion now, but to the entire movement. Now, we'll read this. And the name of the article, just for quoting sake, A Death in the Capitol and What We Must Do Now. It was written a few days ago. Today's Sunday the 10th, so I think on the 7th, if anyone wants to reference it. Now, this isn't the important part, but just I'm going to frame some stuff for you. Now, this is quoting the article. Political violence begets political violence. This is an iron law. We have to be against that. No matter who commits the violence and under what pretext, no matter how many self-interested demagogues assure us the violence is justified or necessary, we have a duty to oppose all of this, not simply because political violence kills other people's children, but because, in the end, it doesn't work. Now, keep in mind, I'm not quoting here, this is the right.
Mm-hmm.
This is the people that talk about revolution, the three percenters, and... Mm-hmm. We're going to end tyranny. To have someone basically stating that, you know, we can't have political violence, to me, that's anathema to what their belief system is.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is what I love, because this is something you and I have talked about. I was so surprised to hear it. All right, going back to the article. The only reason this country is rich and successful is because hundreds of years we have enjoyed a stable political system. The only reason the system is stable is because it's a democracy, responsive to voters. Democracy is a pressure relief valve. As long as people sincerely believe they can change things by voting, they stay calm. They don't burst into the House chamber. They talk, they organize, and they vote. But the opposite is also true if people begin to believe that their democracy is fraudulent, that voting is a charade, that the system is rigged and it's run in secret by a small group of powerful, dishonest people who are acting in their own interest. Then God knows what can happen. Actually, we do know what can happen because it's happening right now. And it's happened in countless other countries over countless centuries. And the cycle is always the same because human nature never changes. Mm-hmm. Listen to us scream the population. Shut up and do what you're told. Say the leaders. All right, that's the end of the quote. And the article continues forth from that point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is, and it's actually given me chill bumps to read someone accidentally hitting on the voting thing.
Yep.
Why it's so important, why you wear stickers, why it's pushed. Because as long as you vote, you believe you have a say. And as long as you believe you have a say, whether it's right or wrong, all you have to do is have the belief they can maintain control. But the moment that illusion is fractured, they begin to lose control and they get very scared. Now, he goes on to talk about how it's basically going to be a sway back and forth. You're going to see, you know, the leaders... Or whenever someone is doubting, you know, whether it be church leadership, whether it be a government authority, they crack down on dissent.
Right.
And they crack down hard because they believe that is how you get rid of it. You punish. But inevitably, it creates a shock wave, especially the worse, the more severe the punishment, the greater the shock wave,
mm-hmm.
and the more people that are going to rise up against it.
Of course.
Now, all over the world, we've been seeing people take to the streets for the last year, even longer than that, since, God, year and a half, whether it's the Yellow Jackets in France, whether, you know, any of the other capital cities. It seems to be that people are finally realizing and waking up that, hey, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't listening to us. They are not acting out in our interests. We need to do something.
But, you know, all of this leads to the inevitable question moving forward, though, of now what's going to happen? You know, that first chink has been made in the ice, so to speak. Whether we agree with it or not, under the circumstances, the fact is this action has now been done. I think this is the first time in U.S. history that the public or the non-governmental populace has essentially stormed a federal building, isn't it?
Federal buildings, and it's been happening in state capitals too. Mm-hmm. Remember the COVID mandates? People were taking over state ones.
Yes. So within this year, we've really seen that pushback starting to happen. And, you know, once it's been established, it's much easier to repeat typically. Now, obviously, there's going to be some much harsher punishment, consequences, whatever you want to call them, for those who make that decision in the future. But now that it's happened, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The possibility of a recurrence is much, much higher.
Absolutely.
So are we heading, and honestly, in your opinion, do you think we're heading for some type of a civil war?
I hate...
And there's no making, I know that. I'm not saying that you have to sit here and be like, oh, definitely we're doing that. But does it lend itself towards that direction of, like, you know, he was saying in the article, the illusion is fading?
What I was going to say was, I hate the terminology civil war, because there's these, I guess, ideas or pictures or images that come to mind. Do I think we're going to be shooting each other in the streets?
I don't think it's going to be like that. I just mean, is there going to be some type of a political upheaval from the people, a la revolution? How about that? More of a revolution, as opposed to a civil war. That might be a better terminology for it.
I see secession is what I see. I see some states finally going, you know what, we're done. You know, and both sides have been talking about it. You know, right now it's the right, but during Trump's reign, it was the left, and it was very surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I think that idea is gaining in popularity. And I know I said we were done with the article, but there's actually, because you brought this up, I think it would be good to go back to the article. Quoting again, you may have nothing in common with the people on the other side of the country. Increasingly, you probably don't, but you're stuck with them. The idea that groups of Americans will somehow break off into separate peaceful nations of like-minded citizens is a fantasy. The two hemispheres of this country are inseparably intertwined like conjoined twins. Neither can leave without killing the other. As horrifying as this moment is, we have no option but to make it better and to gut it out. End quote. Mm-hmm. Now, what I love about this part is there's the recognition that secession is going to be a hot topic. But why do we care? Well, he stated it right there. The left and the right are conjoined twins. They are going to kill each other to separate. And that's exactly what we need.
Mm.
We're the...
Well, that's grotesque.
No.
But, I mean, I get what you're saying. It's just... The imagery, it's just, oh.
Well, I don't want it, obviously, we're not glorifying children dying.
No, of course not.
But the reality is, they are inseparable. He is absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. And the only way for the liberty-minded to have any chance is for the left and the right to destroy each other.
Yeah.
I don't mean literally kill, like, shooting people in the streets.
No, of course not. No, but the party system itself has got to be broken down and
the ideology has
got to
be destroyed.
There, that's a better way of putting it.
But again, I hate Tucker Carlson. Usually he's full of shit, but it was interesting to see a moment of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And very rarely do you hear someone talking about voting being a pressure relief valve, like that movie The Purge. It's very, it like put a smile on my face. They know, and by they I mean the demagogues, the people that are pushing this, that we've got to have these people believe they have a say. You know, the moment we didn't think we had a say, we started a new country. Mm-hmm. And it happens again and again. Many a ruler has lost their life or lost their head when the populace finally figure out we outnumber them and we're done.
Yep.
It's interesting from a psychological standpoint that how we accept control as long as we believe that it's not all controlling, that we have a say.
Right.
Even in, and I'll bring this up, but even in the most popular religions, you still have a freedom of will. Otherwise,
you don't accept the programming.
You would not accept the programming. Absolutely. You have
all
to
Matrix,
believe.
Yeah.
Whether it be Matrix. Yeah, that was playing this morning, I think.
Was it?
Yep.
That's funny. Apropos.
Quite. So beyond that, that was the main thing I wanted to hit. I don't foresee us doing a lot of topical stuff, especially removing Facebook from the equation. One of the things, and I'd love to hear some feedback from some of the listeners if they wouldn't mind, was thinking about looking at figures and times of dissent, whether it like Galileo Galilei or Martin Luther King.
And so you're just incorporating some of the history.
Some of the history or even some of the legends and the myths. Mm. Lucifer is another great example of times and places where here's what the standard opinion was or the accepted opinion. Here's a person that pushed it even despite their own personal safety. But
no, I think it'll be interesting. And I mean, in its own way, I think it's going to be appropriate for what we discuss with things that are still going on now. I don't think that's ever going to be abandoned in what we discuss. It's just, for me, I was excited when you brought up the concept initially, just because it gets really difficult in headspace wise going over this, because we are in a period of time right now that is challenging emotionally and mentally, you know. And that, I think that was one of the reasons you had discussed why you were taking Facebook out. It was just impacting you on a level of how you were interacting with your family, even, because it puts you in such a bad headspace. And so, you know, we'll see how things progress. I think this is going we'll use the favorite word. Maybe we should have just called it the interesting
podcast.
because I do think it's going to be interesting. Whether that ends up being interesting good or interesting bad remains to be seen. But I think we're going to have some good talking points ahead. And I love the idea of kind of making it that 360 picture, you know.
Absolutely. Painting a portrait of different points of dissent. See what I did there? Mm-hmm. Throughout history.
Very clever. I'm proud of you.
No, you're not.
Not really, but...
No, you're not. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate you sticking with us, even though we haven't been putting out much content. We are going to definitely strive to rectify that situation now that we have, at least what we hope, a direction that we're going to go, and hopefully it will be less depressing listening to this podcast and the things we have to talk about, unfortunately. So with that, we will bid you good day. And thanks as always.
Oh, that was formal. Bid you good day. Look at you all fancy.
I got a new calendar for Christmas. Phrases. I'm just kidding.
Fancy phrases? That's a calendar? Fancy phrases for the year? Oh boy. Who loves you so much?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Always look back of your shoulder. Get down to it. Live your life the way that you want to.